This is the John Kincaid Show.
We do odd things on this show. This is a little bit of a different show. So if I'm going to Disney World next week, we talk about Disney World. And we talk about it with you and things like that. We do odd things. Management scratches their head, but they're like, somehow his show has managed to stay on the air for now 14 years on national radio. I don't know how, but I guess it works.
Here's John Kincaid.
Make it 15 years. 15 years of getting up at 4 in the morning on Sundays to hang out with you. The John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio, and I'm coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. If you want to see your loan options, adjust payments, and closing costs online in real time, Rocket can. The John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio. Anthony, you know what getting up in the morning is going to do for you someday, right? The fact that you got up to produce this show?
Big things?
Well, I mean, do you know, let's see if I can name drop on you here. Who produced this show in their history? Because when the show was at ESPN, on ESPN Radio, they used to make the decision that every new producer had to produce my show first. They had to produce my show first. It was like the baptism by fire. If you could produce Kincaid's show, then you could handle anything in radio, was the idea. So I would get the new producer. So the new producers would roll in and out of my show. You like SVP, right? You like Scott Van Pelt, right?
Yeah, I like him.
What did Scott Van Pelt do? He poached Stanford Steve from me. Steve Coughlin. He stole him from me. That damn Scott Van Pelt. Who does he think he is? Oh, wait a minute. He's like really awesome. And by the way, he is a really awesome person. On and off the air. Stanford Steve started his first producing job, producing my show. How about that?
You must have changed over the years.
What do you mean, me?
Because you're not, you said...
No. I'm the same exact person I've always been.
Because you're a pleasure to work with and deal with now.
No, I always was. Believe me, and I'll tell you so. Let me pat myself on the back. They figured a new producer, I wasn't going to chew them up and spit them out. I was going to treat them like rookies, but I was always going to give them an opportunity to have a voice. Like I would say to you from the very beginning when we started to work together, have a voice. If you think I'm saying something on the air that's stupid, turn the mic on and tell me that you think it's stupid. Argue with me. Debate with me. Keep me in check. And that's the kind of thing. I'm trying to think of other. I mean, there have been so many producers that are now working in the industry. I know Tom Wassel's out in Seattle, hosting a show out in Seattle. I know that Amanda Gifford's gone on to great things at ESPN in the management ranks. So she really. I mean, we have so many. I mean, it's an amazing thing. Rob Stats Guerrero, who you might know from Pro Football Talk back in the day. Also, too, so you're in a legendary list, Anthony. It's only been 15 years. The Alumni Association of the Kincaid Show is quite big. I love this. Anthony, did you see it on my social media or not this week? I made a post on Thursday night, and I don't want you to go look for it now because you probably didn't see it. I made a post on Thursday night, and I did it with the intention that I was going to do a psychological experiment. I made a post with my logical argument about college football and why it should go on. And why it should go on. And I gave a scenario that was just based entirely on logic with no slant or otherwise. Just complete logic is how I went. And I wanted to see the people that would disagree with it, how quickly they would go and turn to politics. Okay? So here's my scenario. And I'm asking you to consume this for the first time because you didn't see it. We have college football teams in the ACC and the SEC. And by their protocols going to be tested, their players are going to be tested, and coaches are going to be tested 3 times a week. You're with me, right? Okay.
Yes.
So they're going to be tested three times a week. And the officials that work the games and anybody who would have any kind of contact with the players, potentially, is also going to be under the same testing. They're going to be tested multiple times in the week to make sure they're not bringing something in.
That sounds good.
Okay. So everybody in the game, including the officials, the coaches, and the players, has been tested three times that week. They're all negative. To participate, you have to be negative. Where's the danger of spreading the virus?
Doesn't appear like there is one.
Interesting. So if your protocol is that you are going to, everybody's tested three times that week. All the coaches, all the players, all the officials. And the two teams are going to meet on the field. What's the threat? And people couldn't answer. Because all I asked for is, I said, how is there any risk of spreading the virus? And 75% of the detractors, and you can go to my Twitter feed, at John Kincaid, and follow the thread from Thursday and read it for yourself. People are so deranged with their stance on this. I want to be right. This is what I've said all along, and I so want to be right. That they couldn't deal with that logical scenario. Where's the risk? Now, there were some who could converse, like adults, which I was proud of them. And I said, and they said, well, it's not that. They may not spread it, but they're going to go back on campus and they're going to interact with the general student body and they're going to get COVID then. And I said, okay, so then you believe the general student body shouldn't be on campus, right? Because I logically, oh, no, I didn't say that. I'm just saying you're asking where the risk of the virus would be. And I'm like, wait a minute.
Well, they shouldn't be on the campus then at all. Shouldn't be anybody
correct,
on the campus.
Right? So if you believe there shouldn't be college football, well, they're sweating, John. They're sweating, and it's a full contact thing. Organic chemistry is not a full contact thing. It doesn't make any sense. No, it does. Because the 22 students in the organic chemistry class are not going to be tested multiple times during the week. They're not going to be subject to the protocols the same way that the athletes are going to be. In fact, my point is the athletes are in the safest spot on campus. They're the safest people on campus. It doesn't... But you can go read it for yourself. People were absolutely, I mean, just it was crazy. Absolutely losing their minds. Losing their minds. Just, well, you know, the politicians are always going to, they're going to pressure. You know, the president, he's going to, and people are like, and I'm like, why did you take my post and make it like about your political slant? Because the truth is, there is no risk in that regard. And if you think there's a risk, then what I'm going to say to you is you must believe that no students should be on a college campus. And then you must believe if no college students should be on a campus, Anthony Wright, then no campus employees should be on campus, right?
That would
Everything
make sense.
Should be virtual, right? And then no kids should go to school, right? Any kids. In America, should go to school, right? They should all be at home, right? If college football players are in danger under the most stringent testing and protocols and everything, then wait a minute. We can't have any kids in any school, right? That makes sense, right? I'm just trying to logically connect the dots for these people. What is it? And that's where we get to. That's where we get to with this discussion. There is no logic. There is no logic. And to me, that is a strange, strange place to be when logical discussion can't take place. You can join us for logical discussion on the John Kincaid Show at 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4CBS. Our toll-free line is sponsored by Geico. Did you know right now Geico's offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies on top of what Geico could already save you? So what are you waiting for? Visit Geico.com to learn more today. Here's what I'm going to suggest, Anthony. By the way, as I now have a new driver in the household, I'm going to suggest that you start saving now for when your daughter, who hasn't been born yet, drives at 16. I'm just going to give you the heads up. Start saving now. Because even with great companies like Geico, you still pay an arm and a leg to insure a 16-year-old driver. And if you have a son, it's worse. It's much worse with a son.
I've heard that.
And do you know, God bless Olivia for being a hard worker in the classroom. Do you know?
Well, and why is that exactly? Why? What?
How about depending on the insurance company, she gets a 10 or 15% discount for being an A student. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yes, boys or girls. 10 or 15% discount because she's an A student. You have an A average. You have an A GPA, not an A in one class. Your total GPA is over an A. You get a discount on your car insurance. Now, she also took that defensive driving class, too.
Yes, that helps out a little bit.
Did you have to take that?
I did take it.
I don't remember if it was Mr. Glatz. I want to say it was Mr. Glatz back at Cardinal O'Hara who taught me driver's ed. And I know one time with Mr. Glatz in driver's ed, we took the car and drove to the Dairy Queen. And he bought me ice cream. It was a hot day, and he wanted one of those Dairy Queen cones.
It was just you two?
Yeah, he was my driver's ed teacher.
But when I went to driver's ed, there were two other people in the car. There were three of us all together at the same time.
There were three people in the car?
Yeah.
I don't know if Mr. Glatz was, he wanted an ice cream cone. And off of O'Hara's campus, if you drove, you had to drive a quarter mile to it. There was the bowling alley parking lot. In the bowling alley parking lot, there was a Dairy Queen. And Mr. Glatz, I want a Dairy Queen. Let's go to the Dairy Queen. And I couldn't wait to get out on the road. So I was like, sure, yeah, let's do it. So we went to the Dairy Queen, and we're sitting in the car having a Dairy Queen.
You know, now that you mentioned that, I do believe at one point the driving instructor made one of us drive, and I think he actually went to go pay his cable bill.
Yes. And, Olivia just took the driving class here in Atlanta, and her driving instructor was the best. I can't give the name of the company out. They don't advertise here on the network, so I can't give them a free commercial to 300 radio stations or whatever it is, and satellite and everything like that. But the guy was the absolute best. He was so cool. He was like a grandpa, but a cool grandpa. And he was so laid back and put her so at ease. She went on the first drive. Because remember, she didn't want to drive. And then she immediately now loves to drive. She absolutely loves it. And for those of you who teach, for those of you who spend your time enriching the next generation, God bless you all. God bless you all. Because you have a special talent. And I think it's a talent that a lot of people will overlook. But it is a talent of patience. And it's a talent of, you're absolutely awesome.
Did you pass your driving test first try?
Yes. Yes. I think it was easy back then. She passed hers.
Yeah, I passed first time.
She passed easily. I'd be really worried if my kid didn't pass the first time, though. Wouldn't you? You're going to put him out in the roads? You're going to put him out in the roads and get him all in there? So, did you see what the NBA did? Just shut up and dribble, NBA. Shut up and dribble. The NBA has come up with a coronavirus test that was funded by the NBA. Now has the FDA, on high speed to get it to the public. A saliva direct test. So just shut up and dribble, NBA. The cost per sample could be as low as $4. The cost to consumers will likely be between $15 and $20 to get a saliva test. that, by the way, you can get back almost like instantaneously. Quick turnaround to find out who is, positive for COVID-19. This is brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Great job by the NBA on that. So saliva-based testing is on the fast track, which, by the way, if we had easier access to testing, I think a lot of people would be a lot more comfortable, wouldn't you? I mean, you'd be a lot more comfortable if it was easy to get a test. I think a lot of people would be more comfortable. I think parents would be more comfortable. Who wouldn't pay $15-$20 to get a test to make sure, like if I was going to visit my mom, if my mom didn't live in the People's Republic of Pennsylvania, if I was actually allowed in the state, I haven't gotten by the barbed wire fences and the guys with machine guns yet. If I was actually allowed in there to be able to go take a test and say, I'm not positive for COVID, I would like to go see my mom. I'd like to go visit. I don't know if they've cut off the internet in the state of Pennsylvania yet. They're making a lot of very strange decisions, but I hope mom's doing well. We can't get anything to her. Can't get any mail to her or anything. So they searched the mail too, I think. Jeez. My mom says, you don't want to be here. You don't want to be here. Don't come up. But I'm going to come up. I'm going to break the rules and go see my mom anytime I want. At some point, I'm just figuring out how I'm going to do it. All right, coming up, the Big Ten parents, they're not going down without a fight. They want to see the science. So do I. It's the John Kincaid Show, CBS Sports Radio.
This is the John Kincaid Show. Deprive yourself any longer. Follow John on Twitter. His Twitter handle is at John Kincaid.
Do you have a poker face, Anthony Pierno, Tony Pierno?
Nope. Everybody knows all the emotions I'm feeling at every single time.
I don't know that I've really got a poker face either. I'm more of a open book, I think, as far as how I'm feeling too. But people who do have a poker face, it is quite an advantage in life. John Kincaid Show, CBS Sports Radio. Appreciate you being a part of the show. And remember, Sekou Smith. Sekou, say me from NBA TV. Joins us in just a few moments. We'll talk NBA and the NBA bubble. And what I find to be one of the most humorous stories of all time out of the NBA. The race for 36 wins and the celebration of the 8-9 games, the 8-9 play-in games. Woo! Oh, my, what the drama. What the drama. We're going to see which team can get the 4 games under 500 to be allowed in the playoffs. Oh, gosh, spare me. We'll talk to Sekou coming up in just a few moments here on the John Kincaid Show around 40 minutes past the hour. So if you want to get in with us, you can at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4CBS. I love the way the Big Ten parents are uniting. Now we have 4 schools where they're like, why weren't the parents, the players, the parents, the coaches consulted as far as what they thought about canceling the season? And more importantly, what is the science? Can we compare the science to the science of the SEC and the ACC? Because unlike what many will try to spin to you, you know who the NFL goes to? The NFL goes to the guy that the ACC is using. So it's not like they're going to some quack. It's interesting. Brian in Kennesaw, Georgia joins us. Hey, Brian, you're right around the corner. How are you, buddy?
Hey, John. Good morning. Yeah, listen to you and Buck just about every day whenever I can.
Thank you, buddy. We appreciate that very much.
Yeah. So, I was talking to Anthony. I was on the campus of Kennesaw State the other day helping some students move in. I used to be a teacher here locally, actually at Justin Fields High School where he graduated.
Okay.
Where I went as well. And, Yeah, I mean, it's absurd what the Big Ten, Pac-12 have done. I mean, there's no social distancing going on with these kids, you know, the regular students. And as far as the Big Ten parents, I feel so bad for kids like Justin. He, you know, I never knew him personally, but I've met his father, great guy, just a stand-up parent, always have been.
And you know what? And you know what his ambition is. You know where his ambitions lie.
Oh my God,
so many players, it's taken away from them.
Yeah. Oh, and he is just, I got to stand next to him when he was a sophomore, and I was like, just like Cam Newton or what. But he's a freak. It's just ridiculous, though. And my heart goes out to all these players. I coached high school football at a high level for multiple years, and I just know what goes into it. And it's just heartbreaking.
So Brian, what are you feeling about, look, there's going to be, and anybody who doesn't think so, there's going to be positive tests on these campuses all over the place when these young people get together.
Of course there are.
And by the way, what they're not going to tell you, though, is how many of those positive tests the person is asymptomatic with no symptoms at all. And
absolutely.
And that's the story that I don't think they want to tell. I don't think that's a story they want to tell. It seems that way.
It's not. In my personal opinion, and I know you can't really get into it one way or the other. I mean, I think we all know if the election goes one way, I think there's all of a sudden going to be a miraculous drop in numbers.
Well, I don't know if that. You know, I don't know if that's the case. I don't. I'm not going to appreciate your call. I don't know that that's the case. But the Big Ten commissioner himself told Pete Thamel in June one of his ambitions was to swing a presidential election and to create a database of voting in the Big Ten. I find that strange, especially when the crowd tells us all the time, oh, there's no politics involved in any of this. Really? Sure seems like it. Alan in Chicago joins us. Alan, good morning. You're on the John Kincaid Show. Sorry about those Blackhawks. Sorry about my Golden Knights just stomping on them.
Blackhawks are kind of my fifth favorite team, so you can have them.
They're young. They're young though. They're young. They're putting up a good fight. They played a good series.
Yeah, their power play game and their long game with their defensemen. It's looking good. It's looking better. But like you know, it's if we win, we good. I'm so focused on baseball and football right now. So, but go Hawks. If we lose, you guys deserve it.
Who's your favorite? Bears?
Oh, yeah. Bears 1, Cubs 2.
All right. Are you feeling good? You got to be feeling great about the Cubs. Are you feeling good about the Bears?
I'm feeling good about the Cubs, but unfortunately, I'm not a big fan of the owner. So if they lose, I don't mind. And I want Eloy Jimenez to do good so Tom Ricketts gets his face rubbed in the dirt is what I'm really hoping for this season.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you this. You want to win? Play Nicky Foles. Play Nicky Foles.
I'll go with you on that one. So I wanted to go over my 10 teams real quick.
Real quickly. I can't do
right.
10.
Alphabetical order. My Bears are first. Too many questions at the quarterback. They're not focused
you
on
put
the
Bears out of the playoffs?
Yeah.
First 10 out? Wow.
We have a quarterback problem to begin with, and we don't have any preseason to try them out. So it's going to be trial and error during the regular season. It's just terrible.
Okay. Real quickly.
Bengals, Broncos.
Keep reading.
Bengals,
all
Broncos, right. Dolphins, Eagles, Jaguars, Jets, Lions. I got the Rams, and last is the Red Spirits.
Wow. Eagles. Oh, my gosh. I'm going to disconnect them right now. We have a bad connection. The Eagles are not one of the 10 worst teams in football. No chance. Now, they could miss the playoffs. You never know, but with an extra team in the playoffs, I'd be shocked. Chip in Ohio joins us. Chip, good morning. How are you, buddy?
Hey, John. How are you today?
I'm doing all right, Chip. What's going on, brother?
So, you know, I try to stay out of that political hot plate, off that political hot plate when it comes to the COVID.
We should.
And what is happening
we should,
with sport. Right. But I'm going to tell you, here's my biggest concern, and here's why, I stand behind or I support the decision by the Big Ten, right? We have to immobilize this, the potential,
okay.
Right? So when you talk about immobilizing it, you know, you're talking about Columbus, which is a hot spot in Ohio.
Okay.
Itself. You know, if you take a group from Ohio to any other Big Ten city to participate, even though they're there for a short period of time, you increase the odds.
Yeah, but here, Chip, here's where I'm going to contract with you here. Everybody that would be traveling with the Ohio State football team to play in that game would have been tested three times during the week. So none of them would be positive.
Well, it's so not about being positive.
What do you mean it's not about being positive? It is about being positive.
But what if the positivity doesn't show up?
Well, guess what? You could do – then are you saying that all college campuses should be closed too?
No, I don't think –
well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You have to. You have to say that.
No, because we have to isolate, right? The idea is to isolate, right, and let it – and let the positivity rates or the transmission diminish.
So put the college kids on campus and let them put their lives at risk? That makes no sense.
Well, I understand you thinking that way.
No, I don't think that way. No. I don't think that way. You think that way because you're saying if testing athletes three times a week and they're in a totally different protocol environment than anybody on a college campus, that you think they're at risk, and then you're telling me that you think college campuses should be open. That doesn't make sense. That completely.
I hear what you're saying.
All right, buddy, I got to run. Got to run. That doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense at all. It doesn't make sense. Doesn't.
Welcome back to the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, I love that music. They're using it on Fox NBA. Fox College Football, I believe now, my buddy Mike Hill. Anthony, we got to get Mike on, talk about his book, by the way. Mike's got a new book coming out. So we got to get him on the show. John Kincaid Show, CBS Sports Radio. You know what that means. We're finally ready for the NBA playoffs. Finally. It's August 16th. We've been waiting for this. I am always at the beach when the NBA champion is crowned. And this year, I mean, we're going back to school and the NBA playoffs are just getting started. Sekou Smith, you know him from NBA TV and the Hang Time podcast, joins us here on the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio. Sekou, you are usually in your downtime sort of at this time of year. This is your downtime.
Yeah, this is usually the time when I'm hiding out, you know.
Yeah.
Recovering from one season and getting ready for the next one. So
yeah, free agency's over. Free agency's exactly. Over. Draft is over. You're getting some time, exactly. Some downtime.
Yeah, what? This is strange. you know, kids are going back to school normally this time, and instead we're getting ready to kick off the playoffs, which, given the past, you know, 5 months, I don't care about what I'm normally doing. I'm ready to get back into the playoff groove and see if we can find a champion this year.
Okay, now I keep hearing from people in talk radio, talk show hosts, saying this year's postseason will be the craziest ever because who knows what's going to happen after this. I'm going to go contrary to that. I'm thinking that when push comes to shove, the best teams are going to advance. I don't see crazy wild upsets happening as I look at each conference. The best teams to me are clearly the best teams. How do you see it?
I don't know that there is a huge difference between the best teams and that next year team. So I don't know that there will be any shocking results in this playoffs because look at the East. I mean, is there a bit of difference, you know, between the top four seeds, really, when you think about it? I know the record might say one thing, but we've seen them in these seeding games. We see what they all look like. You know, the Lakers, the gulf between the Lakers and the bottom two seeds in the West isn't nearly as huge as it would be in a given year. I think the competition will be really good, and I think the teams are very evenly matched in a lot of these series. You know, what's the difference between Indiana and Miami? You know, when you look at their records, how they played, it's not like one team has some gigantic advantage over the other one. I think the only real, you know, that looks like a sizable difference between the top seed and the bottom seed is in the East, in the 1-8. Everything else should be really competitive.
Sekou Smith, NBA TV, joining us here on the John Kincaid Show. And you can think this through with me and talk it out. I'm sort of putting you on the spot. But if you would say a first-round matchup where you think a team maybe got a bad matchup for them, and a first-round, you know, matchup where you say, man, I think that team really got a good draw. I think they match up really well against that team.
Well, I mean, I think the toughest one is, to me, in the West, the 1-8 between the Lakers and Portland.
Really? That's the toughest one.
Portland, yeah, no, I think Portland is a seasoned veteran team that got healthy, obviously, now, and really got on a roll. And the Lakers, if you think about it, John, they're a team that really just got together this year. So it's not like they had a normal season to grind all the way through. Get to the playoffs, and you have all your pieces in place for all those months, and they finally are comfortable maybe running the system you have or whatever. Now you got a Lakers team that had this layoff that was brand new to each other in a lot of respects. And then they get down to Orlando for the seeding game, and they're still not whole. They're missing Avery Bradley. Rajon Rondo's hurt. You're still trying to integrate some of these new pieces. There's a lot that they didn't have to work with. And I think that's why you saw them look as disheveled as they did during the seeding game. But on the flip side of that, I think if you look at the 4-5 matchup in the East with Miami and Indiana, those are two teams that each could have had an opportunity to really do something in this postseason. And now they're facing each other in the first round. But one of them is going to eliminate the other one and kind of take away one of those dark horse teams that might have had a chance to fight its way to the conference final.
Sekou, I've been a really good boy this year, so I'm hoping Santa Claus is going to give me the gift that I want. Brett Brown gone. Are the Sixers the most dysfunctional bunch in the NBA?
I would say they're the most disappointing bunch by far.
Okay.
And the strange thing is, if you watch them when they're missing either Joel Embiid and or Ben Simmons, they look like a team that kind of flows and runs exactly what Brett Brown wants. But when you have both those guys on the floor, and they're obviously taking up some of the same real estate that each other wants to use, it makes it really difficult to run a system, to have a default setting that you play on, so you don't have those wild swings like they do. They were the best home team in the league this year and were brutal on the road. Just they have all these weird components about that team that shouldn't be an issue when you have two of the most talented young, you know, all-stars in the league on that same roster.
So is the team built incorrectly? Was the plan wrong all along? Or is this a coach, or do you believe that the coach has to, like, will most likely be the one who takes the bullet for this?
Yeah, he's going to be the one that ends up taking the fall for it at some point, and he knows that. That's, you know, these coaches in this league understand that ultimately, look at Alvin Gentry. I mean, ultimately the responsibility is going to be at the feet of the coach. You're the easiest person to replace. It's really hard to fall out of love with your own talent when you draft them and develop them. And you know better than anybody the process that was undertaken in Philly. And think about some of the players who have, you know, transitioned through that program the last 5-6 years. That just wasn't enough continuity and enough of everybody sticking to this one plan for them to see it through. So now you're dealing with that on the other end, and it's going to end up costing Brett Brown a job at some point.
I heard Brian Windhorst saying on SportsCenter that, you know, whoever they hire in New Orleans, they have to be able to get through, or I'm trying to think of the exact words that he used, but like make that connection with Zion. Really? Are we at the point where we're worried about someone making a connection with Zion Williams? I don't get it. Zion should be as motivated as anybody to be great, right?
Yeah, and he's got that motivation, I'm sure. And I didn't hear what Brian said, but understanding when you have young superstar talent and the coach they have during their, you know, early stages of their career is always crucial. You know, people forget what a great foundation, you know, a guy like Paul Silas gave LeBron, you know, at the start of his career. You need a coach they can take that young talent to a certain point. And maybe it's not the coach that's going to be there for them, you know, for 7-8 years, but it's the guy who helps them transition into the league and kind of understand and really comprehend what it's going to take to maximize that kind of talent. You see it all the time. Talented young players coming to the league, if they're not in a advantageous situation for them from a coaching perspective in terms of a guy who believes in them and that they vibe with, it can make for a difficult time, you know, for that young player. So you need somebody who's going to allow you to work through whatever you have to work through, but also push you to the point that you're not leaving anything on the table, that you're maximizing everything from a nutrition standpoint, from a skill standpoint, from a, you know, work ethic, everything. You got to have somebody making sure that you show up all those areas as you try and become the all-star or superstar or franchise player you're supposed to be.
If I took the Lakers and the Clippers off the board in the West and asked you, give me a third team that you think could go to the NBA Finals, win 3 series, and I did the same thing in the East and I took the Bucks off the board, and you had to say, okay, who's the most likely team to be the second best option in the East? Or if you think there is a better option, you may think there's a better option, and if I took the Lakers and the Clippers off the board, I want to know who's the third best option if you believe those are the top two.
Yeah, I do in the West, and I think the third option in the West, before we heard the news about Russell Westbrook's injury, Houston was a wild card.
Right.
They would have been the wild card. But now, if you look at it now, I really do think Denver is the third option in the West. They're deep enough. They got young guys who have, you know, kind of come into their own. I think Denver is the third team for sure that has that opportunity in the West. And there, to me, there's a clear, you know, equal to the Bucks in the Eastern Conference, and that's Toronto. Even without Kawhi Leonard, we've...
What a coaching job.
Yeah, what a job Masai Ujiri putting the program together top to bottom. Think about the player development they've had with guys like Pascal Siakam and,
yes,
you know, Fred VanVleet. And you look at Boucher and some of these other guys. They've even taken a guy like Stanley Johnson and helped resurrect him. You know, I mean, there's something that they've done in Toronto, I think, that speaks to the long-term success you want to have as a franchise, and that they've bought in to the development of not just their players, but coaches. Nick Nurse is he's been developed by the organization.
Sure.
In terms of allowing him to coach and do the things he's done. It's just an extremely well-run franchise. Masai Ujiri deserves a ton of credit for it. But look, the top to bottom, they got some of the best roster balance. Even without Kawhi, they look like a team to me that could easily get through the East and get back to the NBA Finals.
Check out the Hang Time podcast and all the fine work from Sekou Smith on NBA TV, because it's time for you to really get down to work. You're not going to see the family much. So just they know that, right? They know that. Not going to see you much? Okay, good.
No. I'm going to the bubble here at the end of the month and staying until it's over. So they understand. Dad is gone, and they'll get a little freedom now.
They got a little freedom. Jailbreak time. Thanks, Sekou. Appreciate it, buddy.
All right, John. Take care.
Sekou Smith joining us here on the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio, one of the really good people in our business. Anthony, I have a gripe about the NHL bubble. We just talked a lot about the NBA bubble.
What don't you like about the NHL bubble?
I have one gripe that I can't understand why it happens. Okay, so last night, the Chicago Blackhawks are the home team. Okay, so they're the home team, right?
Yeah.
So Vegas is the road team. It was game three of the series. So at the end of each period, they would play the, I don't know if you know the organ song from Chicago, Here Come the Hawks, the Mighty Blackhawks, and they play it on the steam organ.
Gotcha.
And everything. Okay, so that makes sense.
Yeah.
When Vegas would go on a power play last night, they're doing, the Golden Knights are on the power play.
Yeah, they should be doing that. They're the away team.
And the goal horn shouldn't go off either.
Yeah.
The goal horn from Vegas goes off when Vegas scores a goal.
Yeah, both teams in the bubble, they've been getting their goal horns, and yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. I thought when you're the home team, like, you're supposed to get the crowd should be revved up, and the crowd noise should be revved up when you go on the power play. And, like, you know, they raise the sound in the arena. They raise, like, the crowd noise in the arena. when you're on a when you're going on a penalty kill, the crowd shouldn't be going crazy for the other team. I don't understand the thought process in it. Because it is supposed to still be home ice. In hockey, it matters.
I would also like to see more. I would like to see the virtual fans. Because I know the teams are doing things like that. I mean,
they're not showing much of it.
No, they're not.
They really aren't showing much of it. It just is a minor little complaint for the NHL.
Yeah, because most importantly, the quality of play on the ice has been fun. It's been good.
And to the shut it down crowd. I mean, how much is the shut it down crowd just hating it? Seriously, how much are they hating it? That it's working.
Yes, we can.
Baseball's working. Baseball's working. Basketball's working. You know all the people that told you, well, you can't do this. There's really no way, no safe way to do this. Must be a miserable way to wake up every day. Barrett Salee. He's always a breath of fresh air and some little controversy at times. He joins us talking college football 20 minutes past the next hour. Oh, Big Ten parents, you have motivated me this morning. Speak up! Let your voice be heard. John Kincaid Show, CBS Sports Radio.